I'm very out of touch with the world of keeping fit. I'm very in touch with the world of eating cake.
Hello, 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 and welcome one and all to episode 75 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And we welcome you here to improve your English vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation in our podcast. With over 40 years of teaching between Reza and I, we will be helping you improve your English and taking it to the next level. In this episode, gym vocabulary, exercising in the gym, something I don't do enough of. But first, Reza, we have some feedback from one of our listeners, Ricardo Fica from Chile. And do you remember Ricardo? He's the guy who works with computers and he works with SAP, S-A-P. And he wrote to us a while ago and he's written again and says, hello, I want to tell you a funny story about myself and it's about my level of English. As I told you in previous emails, I'm a SAP consultant and I started a new project with a new client, Samsonite. You know, the suitcase
of
people.
Of course, yes. Very good suitcases, by the way.
They are. And he started this contract 2 months ago in Chile. He says, when I started the project, I had to test my English as I had to interact with a Chinese girl who came from Hong Kong. The first 3 days with her were terrible. I couldn't understand most of the words she spoke. Now, the Chinese are very difficult to understand sometimes, aren't
they? Sometimes, yes.
He says her pronunciation was like a mix between Chinese and English, and she didn't pronounce the R and the L.
Oh, yes. Classic Chinese mistake.
Try asking a Chinese speaker to say red lorry, yellow lorry. And see what happens. Ricardo said, I had to sharpen my ear. I had to make an effort to understand her. And you can imagine we had to speak about business with particular business words. So I had to ask her all the definitions by email to manage to understand what she was talking about. Once I could read it, I started to understand her and every day a little clearer. So he understood her more and more each day. And all of this occurred in the first week. In the second week, a British man came to Chile. So I thought it will be much easier now because he should speak as clear as you guys speak. Of course, he's a listener to us and he expected this person to speak like we do. But I was terribly wrong. This British man who came from London spoke very, very weird and I couldn't understand most of his words the same again. Guys, I thought everyone in the UK spoke like you, but they don't. Maybe because you are teachers.
Maybe. Probably.
The more the British man talked, the more I could understand the Chinese girl. Well, after 2 weeks speaking and listening to them, I think I can say I've improved my English very much. This was the best way and the best opportunity to do it. Now they have gone back to their countries and we are communicating by email all the time as I'm still involved in the project. Now I feel I can speak more fluidly and with greater confidence. I hope you can understand my writing. I'm still learning English with you. Thanks again. You do an excellent job and you deserve all awards. Regards, Ricardo.
Thank you, Ricardo.
So, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? You have to adjust your ear. You're listening when you listen to different accents and you're meeting people from China, from India, from different countries speaking English. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. It's normal, isn't it?
Yes, even native speakers, if one moves around the United Kingdom, for example, if you've never been to Scotland and you suddenly go there, it will take a while for your ear to adjust to the Scottish accent.
Exactly.
And their native speakers.
Yep. And the Irish too, sometimes. Yep. So thanks very much for your email, Ricardo. And there were a few things that I corrected. If you go to inglespodcast.com /75 for this episode, episode 75, you will see that I've corrected your email for you, and you can compare it with your original email and make a note of things that you need to work on with your writing. Next, we have some listener feedback, a voice message from Arturo.
Hi there, guys. Reza, Craig, how are you doing? I have so many questions about grammar, but shall I confine myself to thank the two of you for this great podcast. Now, for some unclear reason, I'm recording my voice staring at a computer screen, and it's very late now. I just wanted to thank you, and I find your podcast quite helpful. All of them are filled with some kind of warm and friendly atmosphere, and I like that. If I were a man of wealth, I would definitely make a donation to you, but I'm penniless, unhappily. Well, I don't know what to say. I'll just talk about myself a bit. I lived in London for a few months years ago, and it is from that time that I got to know a bit of English. I've always tried to speak with a proper English accent and burnish my original Spanish accent to the minimum. Some natives have told me that my accent is barely noticeable sometimes, but I'm still quite unconfident, and I guess it's just because I don't talk in English too often nowadays. I think the only way to get to speak a new language properly is completely engaging with the culture and literature and all that. You know, I love Shakespeare, Virginia Woolf, Chesterton, Victor Hume, Monroe. You know, that's about it. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you very much. I enjoy every minute of your podcast. Cheers. Bye. Bye.
What a fantastic accent, Reza.
Wow, Arturo, I take my hat off to you. That's great pronunciation.
Fantastic. Fantastic vocabulary, wonderful pronunciation. And I really liked what Arturo said at the end, that you need to engage in culture and engage in everything connected to English. Arturo obviously reads. He obviously listens to a lot of English. And I think that's the main reason why his English is so good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Arturo. Let's move on to talk about some gym vocabulary. And this is for Ramon, who works at the Complejo Deportivo Municipal Patacona, the gym that I go to here in Valencia. And no, they're not a sponsor, but because Ramon is interested in learning English for his work as a gym trainer and instructor, I thought we could look at some vocabulary, Reza, for working out at the gym. That's the first thing, to work out, the phrasal verb. Do you work out?
I'm afraid I don't know. I do a few exercises at home, but I've never been a member of a gym. Maybe I should sign up.
You do look quite fit.
Really? You think so? I love your flattery. Flattery. He's been too kind to me. Too kind.
So estar en forma is to be fit. You could also say to get in shape. To become fit is to get in shape or to get fit. And then when you are en forma, you are fit and you are in shape. And like you, Reza, I'm not really in shape. But I do go to the gym occasionally. I have a spare tire.
Ah, a little bit of a belly. Your stomach is a bit bigger than it should be.
If you can imagine, listeners, there's a tire around my midsection, around my stomach. That's my spare tire. You can say in English that if you have a bit of fat around your belly, your stomach, you have a spare tire.
We could say, and again, this is not advertisement, tienes un Michelin. The Spanish specify the make of tire, and Michelin are the best. But in English, we just say a tire. We don't care what brand.
And if you have a bit of a chubby face, chubby means a bit fat, you could have a double chin. Would they say double chin in Spanish? I don't think so.
I'm not quite sure how they say that. I don't know.
Double chin is where you have, like, a chin is...
Barbilla.
Barbilla?
So, dos barbillas.
Dos barbillas.
It looks like you've got a chin under your chin, but it's the second one is fat.
I think I'm getting a double chin. In the gym, one thing you can do is do weights. Weights or pesos. So to do weights or to lift weights. There's another expression, to pump iron.
That's more colloquial, isn't it?
Yeah. To pump means, well, it means to push quite hard, doesn't it? You can pump when you're cycling. If you're cycling very fast, you're pumping your legs. So the same idea, to pump iron is to push weights up and down, pumping iron.
Do you do weights at the gym, Craig?
I do. There are machines that I use at the gym for, like, for my stomach, for example. So if you lay on the floor, you can do sit-ups. You sit up to develop your stomach muscles. So there's a machine that I use which is better on my back, that you just lean forward and you have weights. You can adjust the weights, the resistance. So I use that machine. I sometimes do push-ups.
Mm-hmm. You better explain what that is.
Push-up is where you lay on the floor with your face facing the ground and you push up with your arms, and then you go down again and push up and down again. You can say push-ups or press-ups.
How many press-ups can you do?
On a good day, about two. I could probably do, I do like repetitions. Another way of saying repetitions in the gym is reps. So you can do 5 reps, 10 reps. So you repeat the same exercise several times. So I usually do like 20 push-ups and then a rest, and then 15 more, 15 reps, and then a rest, then 10 reps. So every day I try to do a few more.
Some people, even native speakers, confuse press-ups or push-ups, which is the same thing, with sit-ups. What are sit-ups?
Sit-ups is where you sit up. So you're laying on your back this time, so you change over, mm-hmm. and you're looking up at the ceiling, up at the roof, and then you can put your hands behind your head.
Yes.
And lift yourself up. So you curl your body up, you sit up and then go down, and sit up and then go down. Mm-hmm. There's another one that's a pull-up. So you can grab, you can hold a bar and pull yourself up to the bar with your chin.
A bar means a piece of metal or something like that.
Exactly.
Not a bar where they serve drinks. That's another type of bar. If you want to keep fit, avoid the bar.
Exactly. So you do these exercises to build or develop muscles, or there's a colloquial expression, to get a six-pack.
Ah.
Could you explain that?
Yes. For Spanish people, as far as I know, it's una tableta. Isn't that what they say?
I think so.
Tableta.
De chocolate.
Tableta de chocolate. So you think of the bar of chocolate divided into the different parts, each little part. Well, we don't think of it that way in English. We think of it as when you buy cans of beer, when they come six together. So you can see the six separate muscles of the stomach when the stomach muscles are highly developed. Only when they're highly developed. So they have a six pack, like six packs of beer together in one.
Exactly what I have under my spare tire.
Under, yeah. Pity we can't see it.
Shame you can't see it. Very important before you do any exercise is to stretch, to do stretching exercise. I don't know what stretch is in Spanish.
Estirarse.
Estirarse. Very important. So stretch before you exercise.
To warm up your muscles and your tendons.
Warm up. Warm up your body. And exercises are often done in the gym on a mat, a gym mat. Mm-hmm. Another piece of equipment, exercise bench. So there are benches, you lay on the bench and you can push weights up and do weights on a bench.
Is there anywhere else you can find a bench?
In the park, on the beach.
Exactly. Just for sitting down for leisure, for pleasure.
Un banco.
Un banco. Not a bank. That's a classic false friend. That's a bench.
I often use the treadmill at the gym. The treadmill is a running machine or walking machine, so it's a belt that goes around and automatically you're running on a belt and you can adjust the speed. So that's a treadmill. I use a treadmill.
So you run or walk without actually going anywhere.
Exactly. And those kind of exercise, I think, are called cardiovascular.
Yes.
Because cardio is heart, isn't it? So anything that increases your heart rate is a cardiovascular exercise. Another piece of equipment that you could find at a gym, dumbbells. They used to be called dumbbells. I think now they're kettlebells. Kettlebells are weights that you hold, often one in each hand. They're quite small, different weights, and you move them and swing them and do different exercise to develop your muscles, sometimes your biceps, the muscles on your arms, mm-hmm. or your abs, your abdominal muscles, to develop your abs to get a six-pack.
That's interesting, Craig. As I said, I don't go to the gym, and this is proof of how out of touch I am. Out of touch means I don't know about the latest developments. I had never heard the expression kettlebells before.
No, I think they're fairly new, because years ago they used to be dumbbells, because they'd have like, yep. it would be...
The shape of a bell.
The shape of a bell.
But they don't make any noise.
Exactly.
Dumbbells. Yeah.
And these days I think they're called kettlebells.
Oh, well, that is news for me. I'm very out of touch with the world of keeping fit. I'm very in touch with the world of eating cake.
That's all I have, unless you can think of any other vocabulary connected to the gym.
Yes, to work up a sweat is a useful expression. If you work up something, work up, that means you, through effort, you develop it. For example, if you exercise for just 10 seconds, you're not going to sweat. It's not a lot. But if you exercise for 20 minutes, then you're going to work up a sweat. That means you're going to do enough to make you sweat.
And if you do a lot of exercise, you work up an appetite.
Exactly. Do enough to make you hungry, or work up a thirst. You'll want to drink.
So to sweat is sudar, and the adjective?
Sweaty.
Yeah.
That's W-S. No, it isn't. That's S-W-E-A-T-Y.
That's S-W-E-A-T-Y, sweaty.
There's another word, the technical word, if you want, or a more polite word for sweat is perspiration. Yeah. Doctors might talk about, the patient is perspiring. They mean the patient is sweating. The patient has sweat on his forehead. He has perspiration. And there's a joke about that. The difference, Craig, between men and women. Men sweat, women perspire.
I thought that men sweat and women glow.
Well, they do as well, don't they? I should say ladies, men and ladies perspire.
Ladies perspire. So I hope that's okay for you, Ramon. If you would like some more vocabulary and expressions, please drop us an email, send us an email, and let us know in Spanish what vocabulary you need for your job. And Reza and I will be more than happy to speak about some more expressions later on.
And Ramon, push yourself. This shouldn't be too easy for you, because no pain, no gain. It's a very common expression used by personal trainers, etc., or coaches. It means that it has to actually hurt, physically hurt a little bit. That's a good thing. That means you're making progress. If it doesn't hurt, no benefit, no pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. Okay, before we move on with our next section, Reza, I'd like to tell our listeners about something we like, iTalki, our sponsors. Now, do you remember last time I said that I'm interested in improving my Spanish?
I remember, yes.
So I went to the iTalki website and I went to professional lessons. I signed up with iTalki. And if you go to professional lessons, you can select a teacher who teaches any language that they have on offer. So obviously I want to improve my Spanish. Listeners might want to improve their English, of course. So I selected Spanish and I selected a native speaker. And then you have to select availability. So I said, okay, any day in the evening, because I'd like to study with my private teacher in the evening. And I also selected I'd like my teacher to speak English, because maybe she has to explain something in English to me. And I really like the accent from Argentina, so I wanted to select a teacher based in Argentina. Now, you have to pay for credits, and if you sign up through our website at inglespodcast.com/italki, you can get 2 for 1, which means you buy 100 credits and Italki will give you another 100 credits free. So I paid my 200 credits. And what you can do with many teachers is to have an example lesson, which is what I've booked for next week. So an example lesson for 30 minutes costs 50 credits, which is about €4, €4.40, something like that. So I'm going to test my first teacher, who is from Buenos Aires, and I'm really looking forward to studying with her, and I hope that she's going to help me improve my past tenses and my conversational Spanish. I will let you know next episode how the lesson goes. So if you would like a trial lesson to test Italki, go to inglespodcast.com/italki and make the most of our special offer of 100 free Italki credits. Reza and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Proverbs, Reza. Last episode we spoke about a few proverbs, and we said that a proverb is a simple and concrete saying popularly known and repeated. A proverb is something that expresses a truth based on common sense or the practical experience of humanity. And proverbs are very often metaphorical. So, people who live in glass houses should not throw stones.
Indeed they should not. Because what will happen if they do, Craig?
If they do, then
they'll break the glass.
They'll break the glass. So don't criticize other people. Don't criticize other people if you're not perfect yourself. You should not throw stones if you live in a glass house.
Yes, because you'll only show other people your own imperfections by criticizing them.
Exactly. Doesn't that come from the Bible? Let he who should cast the first stone.
Let he who is free of sin cast the first stone.
Oh, you know your Bible.
We quoted the Bible in our last episode as well. John 3:16, wasn't it? For the Lord so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
I think we might scare people away if we quote the Bible too much. Our next proverb, hope for the best, but
prepare for the worst.
Very good. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. So bad things might happen, be prepared. Could you think of an example in which you'd use that, Reza? Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Well, study for an exam, be optimistic, realize that you've a good chance of passing, but don't absolutely depend on the pass result to plan your future life, because if you don't pass, then you'll have nothing else to do. Have another plan, have a plan B. Be prepared to do a job that you don't want to do, for example, should you fail that exam.
Right.
That could be an example.
Absolutely. So, if you want to start a new business, always have a backup plan in reserve. Another one, let's see, better late than never. It's best to do something on time, but if you can't do it on time, do it late.
Yes, Craig usually thinks of that proverb every time we meet to record a podcast, because I come to his house and I might not always be on time.
Although today you were.
I was on time today.
Exactly on time, to the minute. And finally, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Oh, how true.
Things that are offered for free always have a hidden cost.
Or we could use an idiomatic expression. They always have strings attached. Strings attached. In other words, they seem free, but no, there's like, if you can imagine a string restricting the movement of something, it's not totally free. Seems free, but it isn't free. It's being controlled, manipulated in some way.
So be careful. If someone offers you something free, there may be an ulterior motive. There may be a catch, except, of course, for our podcasts.
It really is free. Although we are not stopping you from becoming a patron if you want. If you want, go ahead.
And we're not stopping you from going to iTunes and writing us a review if you've enjoyed this podcast. So until next week, it's your turn to practice your English. So if you want to practice vocabulary from this podcast, send us a voice message and try to use as many words and vocabulary and expressions from our exercise section or from the proverbs we used. And also you could send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to belfastreza@gmail.com. And what's your favourite proverb? Send us your English proverb or your Spanish proverb and we'll speak about it in a future podcast. So until next episode, it's a huge goodbye from me.
And an equally huge goodbye from me.
And in next episode, we'll be speaking about strong adjectives like huge, for example, which is a strong adjective of big. So until next time, goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.